The scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians 3:12 through verse 2 of chapter 4. It refers to some of the things that Steve mentioned from Exodus. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Blessings, Steve.
Before I begin, God, we just pray that if there's anything veiling our hearts this morning that would keep us from truly hearing you, just pray that you would remove that veil by your Holy Spirit, and may we leave here shining forth your glory. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So this Sunday is, in the church calendar, it's Transfiguration Sunday, which is that moment, that incident up on the mountain when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and there for just a little bit of time, Jesus' full glory was unveiled for these three disciples to see. And so that includes a lot of the themes of this morning, both the glory of God shining forth and that glory either being veiled or unveiled. So we want to consider those things this morning. And I just want to start with several questions to get our minds focused on what Scripture has to say on this topic. And the first is, where does the glory of God catch your attention or your gaze? Where do you notice the glory of God shining forth or peeking through, being unveiled in your life? How in this world is God's glory being veiled or hidden from our sight? And how do each one of us veil the glory of God in our own lives? Those are the things that we want to ponder this morning. And just to clarify, when I talk about the glory of God this morning, I want us to think about it's those attributes of God that somehow are expressed in a way that we can see. So they're all going to be glorious and amazing, but it won't necessarily be that they're all awesome things. So the glory of God could be things like God's holiness, but also God's love for the least, which doesn't necessarily, it's not always seen as a big glorious thing. But whenever love is shown for the least of these, that's the glory of God shining forth. It's wherever we see God's beauty, wherever we see God's forgiving mercy, wherever we see God's authority or God's creative power. You know, whenever these things somehow begin to shine forth and we notice them or we receive them, there is the glory of God. So Moses went to see, met with God for 40 days, and he came away shiny. He came away transformed. And so I want to start by thinking about our own experiences of meeting with God. And I don't want to pass over too quickly this idea that for 40 days Moses spent time on the mountain with God. And so Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which marks then 40 days of Lent, 40 days until Easter. So just imagine you would go off this Wednesday to some remote place, just you and God for 40 days. That would be from Wednesday until April 17th. So just consider what that would be for you. 40 days meeting in a remote place or a mountaintop with God. Clearly some significant things happened there as Moses met with God. And so to think about what's going on during that time, I want to actually look at the scripture from Exodus 34. This story about Moses coming down and shining is found in the last part of Exodus 34. But earlier it talks about Moses ascending the mountain. And I just want to note some things that took place between Moses and God, and then consider how we might, maybe not in such a grand mountaintop way, but we might experience that same kind of meeting with God. The first thing is Moses goes up with these two unmarked yet stone tablets. And it says in verse 5 of Exodus 34, "The Lord came down in a cloud, and he stood there with Moses, and he proclaimed his name, the Lord, or Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin, yet not leaving the guilty unpunished.'" So Moses is just there having these words or these attributes of God just spoken over him, just kind of dwelling in that. And so just consider when you might have experienced that, whether it's in personal time with God or in a group of people where these songs of worship are raised up, just naming the God who is faithful, slow to anger, the God who is compassionate and gracious. Prayers are lifted up to this God who has these attributes. Maybe scriptures are read that, again, name the glory of God in this way. And it's like we're dwelling in that. It's being spoken into our lives, into our hearts, almost like we're marinating in it as we are set apart and meeting with God in this way. The second thing that I notice is in verse 8 or 9, Moses begins to confess to the Lord, like, "I'm among a stiff-necked people. Please forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance." So what's also going on in this meeting between Moses and God is Moses is confessing, and he's asking God to forgive him and to cleanse him and to cleanse his people. So that's part of what happens when we meet with God. And then in verse 10, the Lord says, I'm making a covenant with you before all the people. I will be your God, you will be my people, and I'm going to do things never seen before amongst the nations. And so here God's speaking out his purposes. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm all about, and this is where things are headed. When we meet with God, whether it's reading scripture or just listening for his voice, we also can hear the voice of God giving direction to our lives or speaking forth his purposes. And hopefully in the midst of that, our desires, our goals, our purposes become less and less, or maybe more accurately, they become one with God's purposes and with God's goals and with God's direction for our lives. So that's going on. And then finally, and this is probably what we think of most that's happening up there on the mountain, is God's giving Moses his commandments. Not just the Ten Commandments, but if you'd read, there's other commands that he gives. Again, to give direction. Obey my voice. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus obediently in these ways. And so we hear that and we reflect on that. And so, being filled with all this, then Moses comes down from the mountain just shining forth the glory of God. So whether we're meeting with others like this, meeting God with others, or we're meeting God alone, or maybe even just keeping our eyes open throughout our daily activities to see the glory of God peeking through. Again, His mercies and His love and His glory. In all these ways, then, we've met with God and we're filling ourselves. We're open to His glory being spoken into our lives. And so we shine. Like Moses, we shine. We're able to look at life with renewed hope. We're able to live lives of obedience that reflect the glory of God. And we don't stay there on the mountain. We enter back into life carrying this glory or shining forth for others to see. But in these scripture passages, we also see that, I have to catch up here. We also see that there can be a veiling of God's glory. To veil, you know, to obscure or to conceal. And so both, we see it in Moses where it seems to be this pattern. If you read Exodus 34, he meets with God on the mountain. He's shining, he comes down, he speaks out what God said, and then he puts a veil over his face because this is just too much for the people. They're just freaking out over this, the glory of God, the holiness of God. That's just too much for them as they're bearing their sins. And then Moses goes into the tent of meeting, same thing. He comes out shining. He shares with the people what God said to him, and then he puts a veil over his face to, in a sense, protect them from this glory shining forth. And so how, the question for us is, how is this glory of God veiled in life today? First, we can see in the transfiguration story that God's glory in Jesus is veiled because, except for that brief moment, Jesus came to fully relate to us and to come with all of that glory. It seems like it would impede what Jesus was trying to do in coming to speak to us as one of us, still displaying the glory of God, but not the overwhelming glory of God that would shine forth from him. But also, it seems, just as the people of Israel, they didn't want to get near the mountain. The thunder, the lightning, the booming voice of God, Moses with his shining face, like that was just too much. In our fallenness, God's glory can feel like it'll just consume us in our sins. And also the corruption of sin in our lives in this world just mars or covers the glory of God and corrupts it from truly being seen all around us and from within us. And so there's a veil or there's a blindness, or Paul talks about a veil covering people's hearts. And so there's that veiling. And so I just want to mention for us that there's two ways, thinking about our own lives and our own expression, that the glory of God can be veiled. First is that we're unable to see or perceive this reality of glory. Like we're unable to take it in, or we're not even looking. You know, and so there's this veil that keeps us from even perceiving or meeting with God to receive that glory. And then secondly, that then we're not able to reflect that glory in our lives. And so there's a veil, not allowing it to be expressed out from our life. So both in and out. So thinking first of all about, this inability to take in or recognize the glory of God in our lives, where there might be a veil over our heart or our mind. Here in the passage that Merle read from 2 Corinthians, Paul's referring to his fellow Jewish peers who have not yet experienced the unveiling that Paul experienced on that road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him and he had this revelation of who Jesus really is. You know, in this unveiling, and speaking of them as not yet seeing that the love of God and the saving purposes of God are all wrapped up and revealed and shine forth in Jesus. In the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the light of the gospel that's displayed in the glory of Jesus, the glory of God, the light of God, the image of God. Jesus talks about it as people are seeing, but they're not really perceiving. They're not taking it in. Or he talks about the seed that's planted among the thorns. And the seed that grows is choked out because of the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. And so they're not able to see and grow in the glory of God. They're distracted away from that. So the question for us that we could ask is how, in my own life, even if we would claim that we've come to see and perceive that the glory of God is revealed to us and is expressed in Jesus, still, how do we allow more of this glory from being fully revealed to us? How do we still gaze in other directions or fail to go and meet with God so that we can understand more and more and take in more and more of this glory and understand who He is and let that change our hearts? You know, how is the veil still over our hearts and over our minds? Paul talks here about freedom. And remember, our theme for the year is freedom, being released from the grip of these forces that restrain us from the true and abundant life that God creates. You know, and here, in terms of how Paul would say it, is we need freedom from this veil that keeps us from seeing and understanding who God really is and the glory of God in Jesus. But also we need to be freed from the veil that doesn't let us express it in our lives. Freedom from the veil that keeps us from seeing and knowing God, and freedom for a life that is just expressing more and more the glory of God. And so that's what Paul goes on to say, that we ourselves reflect God's glory. As we meet with God, as we take in His glory, as we reflect and praise Him and understand what God is all about and what His purposes are in Jesus, then that shines forth from us. And so a key verse is verse 18 there in our scripture passage. Paul says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate," or we reflect, "the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, the Spirit is setting us free from these things that veil us. So it says, with unveiled faces, we reflect the Lord's glory. And literally, it means to reflect as in a mirror. And in those days, they didn't have the mirrors like we do that were so precise. It would have been a piece of polished metal, so you could see, but it wasn't as clear. But Paul's giving this image that as we're looking in the mirror, and over time, as the Spirit of God's at work in us, as we're taking in His glory, we're going to begin to reflect that glory in greater and greater measure. Like over time, as you're looking in the mirror, there's going to be a greater clarity of Jesus shining forth from us. You know, from one glory to the next, from glory to glory, you know, an ever-increasing glory shining forth from us. As opposed to what he's saying about Moses, Moses came down from the mountain, or he came out of the tent, and there was glory shining forth, but eventually he put that veil on because that glory was fading away. And if that glory was great, Paul says, there's an even greater glory in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. A glory that goes from glory to glory, ever increasing glory that's shining forth from our lives. I read this just as an example of this, of how more and more we express Jesus. There's a prayer one of you put on Facebook in reflecting on the war this week. And this prayer says, "I may not be able to stop a war, but I can love the neighbor right in front of me." You know, and it goes on to say, "The only thing I can do is love the next person I encounter. without any conditions or strings. To love my neighbor so fearlessly that it starts a ripple that stretches from one horizon to the next. I can't force peace on the world, but I can be a force for peace. You know? Just an example of this glory being expressed in our lives as we're taking in God, that begins to get reflected in our lives. So, and then just to close here with a scripture from, again, from the next chapter, might sound familiar to you, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. And think about this for your own life. And the other question we want to think about is, what holds us back from reflecting God's glory? How are we like Moses, trying to hide a glory that's fading rather than letting it shine forth from us? 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7. God says, let light shine out of the darkness. He has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Like, we never forget that the glory we're shining isn't our glory. No. But even as we're ordinary, flawed jars of clay, this glory shines forth from us, especially as we're meeting with God and taking in all that he is and then letting it shine forth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We want to move out in that freedom. So I want to conclude with a prayer. And thinking about Ash Wednesday coming up and Lent, it's a time of repentance and making confession before the Lord. So I want to pray kind of in light of that kind of attitude. So would you join me in prayer? God, where I am blind to your glory, I pray that you would remove the veil that is on my heart. Set my eyes not on earthly things, but the things above. Draw me to meeting places where I can gaze and marinate in your glory. And where I veil your glory in my life, Lord, forgive me and remove that veil that obscures your glory from shining in my life. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.